At any rate, Matthew chapter 26 is where our text is for this morning, and we're going to talk about the sin and the repentance of Peter. Of course, you know that we've been looking at the sufferings of Jesus in this 26th chapter of Matthew. We've seen him suffer great mental and emotional stress, so much so that his blood vessels ruptured around his sweat glands, and sweat mixed with blood fell to the ground. That's a real medical condition under extreme stress. We've seen him suffer the careless sleeping of his friends. All he asked them to do was to sit and watch while he went to pray during this darkest hour of his life, and he came back and he found them sleeping. Jesus must have felt so alone, don't you think? And he was alone. Jesus suffered alone for his people. No one could go with him. No one could even stay awake with him. And now we're going to see that not even his most ardent supporter would open his mouth for him. This was Peter, who was one of the three most favored disciples. Does Jesus have favorites? Well, he did with his disciples, didn't he? He certainly did. He had three of them that he favored quite often. This was Peter, who leapt out of the boat in faith and walked on water. This was Peter, who personally saw Christ transfigured on the mountaintop and heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son." This was Peter, who saw all the miracles which Jesus did. This was Peter, who was taken a little deeper into the garden to be with Jesus. This was Peter, who was always out front as the spokesman for the other disciples. This was Peter, who drew his sword just a few minutes ago in defense of Jesus. And now we're going to find that Peter will forsake Jesus too. We saw last week that Peter already began to deny Christ when he followed from afar. Do you remember? He didn't want to be seen. He didn't want to be found out as one of the followers of Christ, and so he followed afar off. This is how we often fall away from Christ. When you think about it, we begin to follow him afar off. We back off from him. We're not as close to him anymore. We begin to lag behind. We began to miss Sunday school, and then we began to miss church. We forsake the fellowship of the saints. We stop reading our Bibles, we stop praying, and pretty soon we're following Christ from afar. Peter began to follow Christ from afar, and this must have piled on to the sufferings of Jesus. Jesus' heart must have been broken to see Peter lagging behind and hiding in the darkness, and how the suffering of Jesus must have piled on when he saw Peter come in and sit down in the congregation of the wicked. You remember last week? Peter took his seat with those who hated Christ. I don't think we can even estimate the great loneliness of Jesus on this night. If you looked around the palace on this night, you could not find one friend of Jesus. The other disciples had run away the other way from the garden. And Peter has hid himself among the wicked, and surely this must have added greatly to the sufferings of Jesus. We want to look first of all this morning at the sin of Peter. Let's talk about the occasion of Peter's sin. Peter put himself in a very precarious position when he came into the palace and he sat down with the sinners. No doubt when Peter came into the palace, everyone was cursing Christ. They were hating Christ, and they were wagging their tongues at Christ. They ultimately were shouting, "Crucify him." Don't you just know there must have been very foul language at this meeting? This was a meeting of riotous sinners gathered together to kill a man, and amidst all the cursing and Christ-hating, Peter sat down with them. "Oh, Peter, why have you sat with those who hate Christ? Why have you taken your seat with those whose mouths are filthy and slanderous toward the Savior. And Peter's spirit must have been oppressed as he sat there in the midst of Satan's congregation. Bad company leads to great temptation. Have you found that to be true? If you engage with bad company, you go walking on the devil's ground. You'll either be tempted and ensnared in sin, or you'll be ridiculed. You'll either join in with them, or you'll be treated like they treated Christ. The Bible warns us against congregating with sinners. It says in Psalm 119:15, "Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." Peter didn't say, "Depart from me." He didn't say, "Excuse me, but I can't bear to be around all of this cursing." But he said, "Let me sit down with you. Let me sit right here with all of you who hate Jesus." If you sit down with sinners, you'll be under great pressure to be like them. They'll spit out curse words, and then they'll look at you to see if you'll join in with them. This was a very bad decision that Peter made on this night. He decided to sit down with sinners. By the way, Peter learned his lesson because later at Pentecost, and in the book of Acts, Peter was preaching and he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," you see. He recognized that they were evil. And sure enough, as soon as he sat down with them, trouble began to brew. And so we see the temptation of Peter. A young woman came up to Peter and accused Peter of being with Jesus. It says in verse 69, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." Perhaps she had seen him here and there with Jesus, or thought she had. I want you to see how those who hate Christ also hate Christ's followers. They're not content just to spew out indignities at Jesus, but now they're looking for Jesus' followers, you see. It's not enough to crucify Christ. They won't be happy until they also crucify those who love Christ. And if they know that you love him, they will despise you too. Peter said, "I've got to get out of here." So he went out to the porch, you see, in verse 71. He changed locations. He couldn't stand it anymore with this group of sinners now questioning him. And so he goes out to the porch. Don't you just imagine that Peter wanted to get away from these reprobates? They've already caused him to deny Christ once. And so he says, "Let me go out to the porch," in verse 71. "Maybe the congregation of sinners will leave me alone over there." But wouldn't you know it, another woman came up to him in verse 71. "And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter couldn't get any relief from the constant temptation to deny Christ. In the palace and on the porch, they won't let him alone, and that's the way it is in this world. Have you found that to be true? In a sense, we're living in their territory. This world is the devil's ground, isn't it? Our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. But evil men occupy this world, and they won't let us alone. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and speaking to the Father, this is what Jesus said, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world," you see. But Peter stood in the midst of the world, and the world would not leave him alone. Notice how disrespectfully they treated Peter. The woman didn't ask Peter, "What's your name, sir? What's your name?" And she didn't say to the crowd, "Let me introduce Peter to you." But she said, "This fellow, this man, was also with Jesus." It seems that she thought it was a reproach to have such a man in their company. We got to get him out of here, or we got to do something to him or with him. Sinners are very uneasy to have a Christian among them. Did you know it? Very uneasy about that. A little while later, some others came up to Peter and accused him of being with Christ. That's in verse 73. This was a group of them. You see how sinners are relentless against Christ and his people. So we've seen the temptation of Peter, and now we want to consider the sin of Peter. His sin upon the first temptation. Temptation number one. How did Peter react? The young woman said, "You were with Jesus." And Peter said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Peter said this, apparently, very loudly so that all around him could hear. Peter wanted to know, wanted the group to know that he was not with this man, Jesus. It seems here that Peter acted like he didn't know what all of this was all about. He didn't know what she meant by Jesus of Nazareth. Who is Jesus of Nazareth? And what do you mean? I was with him, you see. I don't know what you're talking about. Peter was trying not to openly deny Christ here. He'd rather not say it, you see. He was trying not to outright verbalize his denial of Christ. And so he simply said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Sometimes we try not to lie by acting like we don't know what's going on, don't we? We cover up the truth, we pretend that we don't understand or that we don't remember, and we misrepresent what we really know to be true. Did you know that this is also a lie? Peter might have have just openly said, "I deny that I know Christ." He could have said that. But instead he says, "I don't know what you're talking about." But his sin is just as great, because he did know what she was talking about. Peter here is a liar. And he has denied Christ by failing to admit him. But let's take a look at the second temptation. Peter's sin at the second temptation on the porch. Peter flatly denied that he knew Jesus. He actually said the words this time. He didn't act like he didn't know what she was talking about, but he stated openly that he did not know the man. And you'll notice that he backed it up with an oath. In other words, "I swear to God that I do not know this man." By the way, did you know that when you make an oath that you're really swearing to God? No matter what you swear by, because God made it all, you see. That's what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus swore to Peter swore to God that he didn't know this man. I want you to notice here how sin leads to more sin. Have you ever noticed that? Little sins lead to big sins. At first, you lay the foundation of sin, and pretty soon, the whole house is built. And now Peter is verbalizing his denial of Christ. He says, "I do not know this man." By this statement, Peter was saying, "I do not own this man as my Savior. I am not a Christian." Isn't that what he's saying? "I don't know him." And if you don't know Christ, you're not a Christian. To be a Christian is to have a knowledge of Christ. Jesus is the only way of salvation. There is no way under heaven whereby a man must be saved but by to know Jesus. No man will be accepted by the Father except by a knowledge of Christ. And Peter says, "I don't know him." Let me speak to Peter for a moment. You see, Peter, look over there. Do you see the man who is bound standing at the judgment bar of the Sanhedrin? Do you see him there ready to die for you? And do you now say publicly that you don't know him? Peter, didn't you leave everything to follow him? Didn't you sit at his feet for 3 years and hear the knowledge and the wisdom and the good counsel that came out of his mouth? Peter, haven't you known him better than anyone else in the world? Peter, wasn't it you who confessed him as the Christ, the Son of God? Peter, have you forgotten all the kindness and the tenderness which he showered on you every day? Have you forgotten all the times that you looked into the eyes of Jesus and your soul was pierced with his kindness and his mercy and his grace? Oh, Peter, didn't you sit around the table and enjoy intimate fellowship with this man every day? Peter, didn't you leap out of the ship and walk on water during the storm to come to this man? Peter, have you heard that daily the wonderful words of life flowing from the lips of this man? Peter, didn't you defend him in the garden with your sword? Can you look him now in the face and say that you don't know him? Peter added to his sin by swearing with an oath. You might remember, as I mentioned in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus commanded that we should not make an oath. We should not make an oath at all in our personal communications. That's Matthew 5:34. Peter heard this sermon. In fact, he was right there at Jesus' feet when Jesus said, "Swear not at all." That's what Jesus said. Peter heard it. And yet Peter swears that he does not know Jesus. You see why we're not to swear? Do you see why we're not to do it? It's because we're human beings. Lies are apt to come out of our mouths, and we should not compound the lie with an oath. I marvel at the depth of sin in the human heart, don't you? It is desperately wicked, as the Bible says, and the bottom line is we need a Savior. And Peter needed a Savior on this night. We need a very gracious Savior. We need a Savior who will not impute sin to our account, and that's exactly what we have according to Romans 4:8. And Peter needed a Savior who would not impute his sin to his account. We want to take a look at his sin upon the third temptation. Luke tells us that it was about an hour later when the crowd came at Peter again. Peter had some time to think about it. They saw how Peter spoke as a Galilean, and they suspected that he had been with Jesus. The Gospel of John tells us that a relative of the man whose ear was cut off in the garden thought he recognized Peter. And he said, "Didn't I see you in the garden?" You see, this man was in the garden. "Didn't I see you there, Peter?" Now you see the evidence is piling up against Peter. His speech betrays him, and there's an eyewitness who thinks he recognizes Peter as one who was with Jesus in the garden. And I want you to see now how the sin of Peter gets worse and worse. Peter denied Christ again for the third time. You would think that Peter might have had time to think about it, but no, sin is now easier rather than harder. That's the way sin is. You sin once, and it's easier to sin twice. Sin twice, and now you will sin three times. And Peter denied Christ again. You'll notice here that he cursed. This great man, Peter, cursed. Now, Peter is acting like all the other sinners in the palace. And by this cursing, he is saying, I am not like Christ, I am like you. Did you know that a curse word never parsed the lips of Jesus unless it was warranted? Peter says, see, I'm a curser. Look at me. Curse words can come out of my mouth. See how I use profane language, just like you. I'm not with him. I'm not like him. I'm a foul-mouthed sinner, just like you. So Peter denied Christ, he cursed, and he made oaths again. Do you see that? He made oaths again. Peter stood there and swore with curse words that he did not know Jesus. He swore to a lie. This is the Apostle Peter at his lowest moment. Look how he has fallen. And I want you to take note of the aggravated nature of his sin. His sin is made worse, first of all, because of the great privileges which he had enjoyed as an apostle of Christ. Did you know that Peter was among the first three of the disciples to be called? He had been with Christ the whole time. He was the most outspoken of the disciples. He was the spokesman for the group. It was he that made the loudest profession of his religion. Secondly, his sin is made worse because Jesus had given him fair warning that he would deny him on this night. Do you remember what Jesus had said to him? This night, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me three times. Even though Jesus warned him of the danger, Peter walked right in, and Peter did the very thing that Jesus said he would do. I have a pool in the backyard. Sometimes I wish I didn't have that pool in the backyard. Sebastian likes it. One day we had some little children over to visit and to swim, and I said, this concrete gets wet, and it's really slippery when it gets wet, especially here by the steps going into the pool. So don't run, please. Don't run. You're going to fall if you run. A few minutes later, one little girl started to run. And as I looked up, her feet went out from under her, and she fell down hard on the concrete. Thank goodness she wasn't hurt badly. Her sin was made worse because I had told her just minutes before not to run, you see, because the concrete was slippery. And Peter's sin was worse because he had been explicitly warned. Thirdly, Peter's sin was made worse because he had solemnly sworn to Jesus that he would never deny him. Peter had said in our same chapter, verse 33, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Peter had said, I will die for you, Jesus. This is why we should not make oaths. We have no idea how weak the human heart is. We have no idea the depth of our weakness. Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, but don't swear. And Peter said, I will never leave you. And then he left Jesus. Fourthly, Peter's sin is aggravated because he had just got up from the Lord's table. You remember that? He had just gotten up a few moments, maybe a couple hours before, where Jesus had pledged to Peter that he would die for him. "This is my blood," Jesus said, "which is shed for the remission of sins." Fifthly, Peter's sin is aggravated because of how often he repeated it. He sinned, and then he sinned again, and then he sinned again. Three times he did it. A mother tells her child, "This is the third time today that you've disobeyed me." She's not happy. You see how sin is aggravated by doing it repeatedly. But Jesus will soon pick Peter up. That's the wonderful part of the story. Jesus will soon pick him up. Jesus will keep him from falling all the way into apostasy. Jesus will not lose one of his sheep. That's what he said. Not one will he lose. We're going to take a look at the extenuating circumstances of Peter's sin. I'm always careful not to be too harsh on Peter. And I want to contrast his sin with the sin of Judas. Judas ran to his sin by design. Judas planned it. He said, "This is what I'll do." And then he went out and he did it, you see. Judas carried it out with a greedy heart and with a selfish heart. Peter, on the other hand, was caught up in his sin by surprise. He didn't plan to deny Christ on this night, but he sat down with sinners. That was a big mistake. And he found himself caught in a net. Judas did what was in his heart, but Peter's heart hated every minute of his denial. Don't you know it? Don't you know that when he said, "I don't know this man," that his heart was breaking? But his mouth lied about it. Peter's heart was broken to hear what his mouth was saying. There was no grace in the heart of Judas, but there was a principle of grace that overflowed in the heart of Peter. I want you to take a look quickly at the repentance of Peter in verses 74 and 75. Peter fell into a deep sin, a very grievous sin, and now we see how it is that he came to repentance and was restored to the Lord Jesus. I think that we should know that even repentance is something that is brought to us by God. Do you know that? God could have left him in his denying state. But it's God that brings repentance. Romans 2:4 says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Did you know that you will never repent unless God takes you by the hand and leads you there? Your heart will not do it. Even Peter's heart would not have done it. But God's hand will break your heart, and then you will do it. It says in 2 Timothy 2:25, "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." Did you know that Jesus planned for Peter's repentance before Peter ever sinned? And Jesus laid the groundwork for Peter's repentance. He said, "Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Jesus knew just how to penetrate the heart of Peter. When Peter finished his cursing and swearing, and when for the third time he said, "I don't know the man," immediately the cock crowed. Do you think that this was just a happenstance? That the cock crowed immediately after his sin? Why, no, it was the sovereign hand of God in love toward Peter. Jesus saw Peter's great sin and he loved him so much that he fashioned a rooster to crow at that very moment. And I say, how great is Jesus? For whom even the rooster crows, How great is Jesus who cares for his own and keeps them even to the end. It says in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. When the cock crowed, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. I don't know how Jesus will do it, but he will bring repentance to you too. He'll do it. I don't know if it'll be a rooster to cause you to remember the love of Christ. It may be something else that brings you back. It may be the love of a small child that brings you back. It may be a kind word from a friend that brings you back. It may be a bit of sadness, a bit of despair that brings you back. But whatever it takes, Jesus will bring you back. He will enter your mind and your heart and your soul, and he will make you very, very sorrowful over your sin. I think the best inducement to repentance is to consider the words of Christ. That's the very best thing. Read his sermons. Read his sayings. Take note of his great wisdom and his great knowledge. Remember how much he loves you. And when you remember, you will come back to him too. I want you to take a look at what Peter did. He went out and he wept bitterly. And let me just say, don't be afraid to weep. When Jesus brings repentance to you and comes to rescue you from your sin, go out and weep for a while. Weep bitterly if necessary. Fall on your face and confess your sins. Be grievous, because sin is a grievous thing. But when you're done with your confessing, when you're done with your mourning over your great failure, get up and go serve him like Peter did. Peter got up from his bitter weeping and he rejoiced in his restoration to the Lord Jesus. He got up and he went about serving Christ for the rest of his life. God used Peter mightily in the construction of the early church. Did you know that? God used Peter to bring the gospel to the Jews and also to the Gentiles. Peter comforted the churches and he preached faith and he preached repentance as the only way to acceptance with God. I want you to look how gracious God is. He takes very great sinners and he gives them repentance and he forgives them. And he makes apostles out of them. Would you bow with me, please?